This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. We've got a lot coming up in this hour. We'll talk a lot of college hoops. We'll talk some college hoops bets. Talk some Major League Baseball bets. Tim Fitzgerald is going to join us to talk about K-State, what's going on in the portal with the Wildcats. Glad to be here. A couple of video comments for you in our last conversation. Mike chiming in on the Royals. Tommy and I both have them going to the playoffs. I kind of going to the World Series. The Royals will be a big winner this year. They showed their talent last season and got better, I believe. Mike, one of the great Royals fans out there in the Sports Daily universe. Rick, when we were talking about the bullpen, says they should want those innings out of the starters. You can't go to the bullpen for four or five innings every game or they'll be toast in July or August. I don't think anybody, Rick, is saying, you know, five innings out of the bullpen last night, but your point is good. And I want the starters to go deep into games too. I just don't want the team to have to rely on them as much as they did last year. And when you get into those sixth innings and things are a little dicey, now you've got good options to come in relief versus forcing a starter to try to work through it. But I think we're all high on the Royals. There's not anybody that watches baseball, and especially that watches the Royals last year, that doesn't come into this season with just a ton of optimism. Let's talk a little college hoops. One of the other ways you can get in touch with us is through our voice messaging system on the Odyssey app. You just push a little microphone. You can leave a message. We can play them out over the air. Let's go to one now. This is, I believe it's Lisa, Tommy, Lisa, yeah, that wants to chime in on the Shockers and Quincy Ballard leaving the program. Go ahead.
Hi, Tommy and Jacob. This is Lisa. I just had a comment after reading the wonderful article written by Taylor Eldridge on Matt Breyer. I know that Coach Mills is not yet in the hot seat, but with the potential departure of Quincy Ballard, we all know that retention is part of the sign of a strong program and trust in the coach. So I'm probably not the only one who has thought maybe Matt Breyer might be a future consideration for the Shockers. Wondered what you guys thought. Thanks for the great show. Bye.
Appreciate it. Lisa, great, great Shocker fan. Has been for a long time. It's an interesting question. I think that, yes, the seat is hot. Right. Like the seat is hot for Coach Mills. It has to be. Right. Doesn't it? SFA, Matt Breyer just went to Stephen F. Austin. If he has a good year there and the seat's hot, I absolutely think that's a conversation that will be had. I think Shocker fans should be excited in that sense that he got, you should be excited that he got a job anyway. He's done a great job. He was at North Texas and then I believe came over with McCaslin to Tech, has done a nice job there, and now is head coach at Stephen F. Austin. That was the launching pad for Brad Underwood's good program. So yeah, I think you keep that in your mind. I think connecting him, Tommy, like point A to point B, it's a little premature for that. Yeah, but yeah, to the other point, yes, Coach Mills' seat's going to be hot. I mean, they were eighth place in the American this year, and they just lost Ballard. That we hope they can keep Washington, but is sixth place in the American good enough next year? Like I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, and there are other external things at play too. Like, you know, we talked about it before, the amount of money that's being paid out to other people to not coach at Wichita State. I mean, that adds up. And so is there even, you know, the financial, wherewithal to be able to make a change like that. So there are other things at play too, but make no mistake about it. I love Matt Breyer. I think he's a phenomenal coach. I loved watching him play at Wichita State. You know, I was here when he played for Mark Turgeon and they made a Sweet 16 run, and he was, you know, the floppy haired kid that could hit shots, and he was a ton of fun to watch. And watching him grow as a coach, you know, he started as a student assistant or graduate assistant under Greg Marshall, and then he was really able to latch on with Grant McCaslin, and that's when he's, you know, skyrocketed from North Texas to Texas Tech and now Stephen F. Austin, and there is that connection to Wichita State. So, look, I would be lying if I said that I haven't thought about that before. Like, man, he has had an ascent in the coaching ranks. He's a young, up-and-coming coach that is clearly attracting attention as now a first-time head coach at Stephen F. Austin. That thought has absolutely crossed my mind that in the future, potentially, and there could be a variety of things that happen, you know, there could be a lot of success from Wichita State and Paul Mills could choose to go on and go somewhere else. Like, there are a lot of different ways that, you know, this could play out, but make no mistake about it. I really like Matt Breyer a ton. I don't know if it's fair right now to say that, you know, that's to your point, like connecting the dots from point A to point B right now, with that regard, but down the line in the future, absolutely.
Well, yeah. Look, like right now, the goal is for Paul Mills to bring in a great class and the Shockers to be really good next year. You know, is Matt Breyer a guy who could at some point in his life be a coaching candidate for the Shockers? You better believe it, right? Like he will, if he continues on his trajectory, and he's never been a head coach before, so there's going to be some time needed there. But I think we're looking at two different things. The reality for the Shockers is they finished 10th in the American and they finished 8th in the American. That is not good enough, right? Should they have been better than 8th in the American this year? Yes, they should have been. They were clearly better than the 8th best team in that league. But that's where they finished. And at some point, you are what your record says you are. They had a really unfortunate start to conference play now 2 years in a row. And they basically have to start all over with the roster. So we haven't seen that before. Right now we have to see if Paul Mills calls himself Portal Paul, which is really funny.
Well, and that's the thing. Like I was about to say to that point, he said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, like joking, and it is funny, Portal Paul, blah, blah, blah. You got to be Portal Paul. Like, we need you to be Portal Paul.
I don't even know how much he was joking.
Right.
He is a very, very smart basketball mind. I greatly enjoy the conversations we have with Paul Mills. I root for his success. I think it can be a great fit long term, but it has to be a fit first. And right now, finishing 10th and 8th in the AAC, just not good enough. And so I hope that they can bring a bunch of players in here that fit around Corey Washington, because they're able to retain Corey Washington and they have a nice run next year. And we can, you know, we can do some of the building that we know needs to happen, but the building has to start somewhere, Tommy. And they finished 10th and 8th in the American and they don't bring anybody back. So like, what is an expectation? I don't know. But if there isn't just a little warmth to the seat after a 10th and 8th place finish, what is the expectation internally? right? Like there has to be. There has to be, because that's not good enough. Everybody knows that's not good enough. You can say it however you want to say it and look at wins and all. It doesn't matter. You've got to be a threat to make the NCAA tournament. We think you should be an NCAA tournament team just about every year you play. You at least have to be a threat to make the NCAA tournament.
And look, I think that to be fair, you know, I know like we can say 10th and 8th in the American, and you're not wrong about that. But to be fair, more wins in year two than year one, a postseason bid in year two. There wasn't one in year one, right?
That's right.
So like there are some things to hang your hat on, but again, you can't just stop there. Right now, I mean, outside of Corey Washington, who hasn't made his decision, you're bringing nobody back. Like, and it very well may be that he doesn't come back either. And then you're almost totally starting from scratch outside of incoming freshmen and, you know, redshirt underclassmen. Like, they've got to lean heavily on projections on portal players and fit for portal players, and you basically have to build a roster. I said it, I think it was yesterday or maybe Tuesday when we were talking about them last, that depending on the way you want to look at it, whether it's glass half full or glass half empty, you could say, man, they've got to replace at minimum 80% of their starting lineup, and like that's bad. Or you could look at it and say, well, it gives them a clean slate. He can be an artist and he can start totally over and maybe put together a team that blows everybody out of the water. Like we don't know that yet. That's what makes it so difficult.
But it's hard to imagine. They're not going like Memphis goes and poaches all the best players out of the league. Shockers aren't in a position, we don't think, to do something like that, right? So now it's got to be a little more unknown than that. And because teams start over all the time, but we have a pretty good indication that KU is going to go get a bunch of really good players, right? Like they got to start over. They're going to go get a bunch of great players. We don't know what Wichita State's going to do. They didn't have to go get anybody last year, really. I mean, they brought in Corey Washington, but McGinnis didn't work. Justin Hill didn't work. Mate didn't work.
I mean, sounds like they're working on trying to bring Mate back next season.
Okay.
Working on a waiver for him to play again. I mean, if he sees the court next year, he had better take a major step forward in his development.
There's a lot of work to do, and it's fine, and I'm with you. Yes, progress. Progress was 100% made, but the reality is this is Shocker basketball, and Shocker basketball cannot be satisfied with NIT bids. Is it progress from the first year? Absolutely. 100% believe that. And think that the arrow is pointed in the right direction. I've said it 1,000 times. But 10th and 8th place in the AAC is not good enough. So what happens in year 3 is way too early to even remotely consider what's going to happen in year 3, because we don't even know who the players are.
Yeah.
And we won't for a little while. So Portal Paul is going to get to work. And he and his staff are going to work very hard and see if they can't bring some players in that make that next step. And I hope that they do it. And I'm optimistic. I think they can go get players. That's the biggest step of the program in the last years. Now you at least know they have the ability to go get players. Paul Mills walked into a situation where that wasn't necessarily the case. Okay, so like that's progress for sure. But now we need the progress to win some games. Let's come back. Let's talk about the games tonight in the Sweet 16. What about some bets maybe? What do we like in here? We'll talk about it next.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be here with you on this Thursday, opening day. The Sweet 16 is back. You can go back on the Odyssey app and listen for our preseason predictions. We had that in the first hour. It's always right there for you.
We didn't do any bets, any baseball bets, like futures bets or anything. We didn't talk about any. There's one that's out there for me that I want to bring up really quick. How do you feel about the win total over under for the White Sox? It's the lowest ever.
Okay.
53.5. is the over-under. And I mean, how do you not take the over on that, right? Like, the White Sox are bad. They were historically bad a season ago. But that's criminally low.
Criminally. I hate those kinds of bets. I remember when we first got betting, it was right before football season. It was during baseball season, but it was right before football season. And I had all kinds of like player props over yards. And I'm like, man, I'm getting like no juice on these. It's like minus 130. And I'm waiting an entire season to see if my $10 bet cashes. Like, no, thank you. So win total bets, like, I don't like them because you got to wait the whole year. What I do like are where you get odds. Like, I can tell you right now, I have an odds bet on the Royals to win the World Series. I have an odds bet on the Rangers to win the World Series. The Royals are like 40-1, Tommy. 40-1 right now. I don't know what we're missing with the Royals. I can't figure it out. I need to go see what they are to make the World Series. I think it's like 15-1. That tells you what baseball thinks of the Dodgers, by the way. I think it's like 15-1. If you wanted to go 3-1 to win the division, at least give me some odds if I'm going to have to wait that long.
Yeah, on win totals, it's really hard to get plus money. There's one bet I like, though, on win totals, and that is that any team will win over 106.5 games. And I'm looking at the Dodgers. Like, I think the Dodgers, I would think, would win more than 100, and they'd win 107 or more games. I know that's difficult to do for sure, but it's the Dodgers and you can get plus money on that. That's about the only one that I like for any team in Major League Baseball to win 106.5 games, over that. I like that bet a lot.
What is the odds on that?
It's plus 150. So, I mean, it's not great, but it's plus money. You can't get plus money on win totals.
Yeah. That's a big number. What's the under? Is it juiced down?
No, it's where, yeah, no, it's the same.
I'd probably go no on that. I'll tell you what bet I'm making today, and I haven't gone through my same game parlays and all that because not all the lines are out till we see lineups and everything. I'll tell you one that I will take today, though, at 5-1. Give me a Corey Seager home run. Give me a Corey Seager. 5-1, give me a Corey Seager home run. I haven't seen what Bobby's are yet. I don't think I saw that line yet. I was going to do a Burger bomb. You know, the Rangers added Jake Burger. But
I mean, they've got the
Seager at 5-1. Give me Seager.
They're facing the debut of Garrett Crochet in Boston, and he's fantastic. He was the only thing that was even remotely positive about the White Sox a season ago. And he's the opening day starter for Boston. That's going to be, the guy can throw some heat. That's going to be tough for Seager. I mean, if anybody can do it, Corey Seager can. But I don't think I like that.
I love it. He's a dark horse MVP candidate too, by the way. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to win it this year. But Seager's a dark horse. Seager could stay healthy ever. Like, you extrapolate his numbers over full seasons, and he is wild.
I think I'm going to do a strikeout parlay with Paul Skeens and Chris Sale. I've got that, you know, going today.
Yeah, because those guys are starting. How deep do these guys get to go into games? It's tough. I don't.
I think we lost Jacob. We're talking bets in Major League Baseball. We'll get him back as quickly as we can. I do like the parlay, the strikeout parlay there with both Paul Skeens and Chris Sale. And I understand, like, it's early in the season. It's the first game. Like, how much are they going to let, you know, these guys go throughout the course of the game? But, I mean, come on. Like, it's, you know, two guys that were, you know, Cy Young candidates in the National League a season ago. So, you know, I like the fact that, you know, they could do that. Max, I guess we're going to get Jacob on the phone. I think he just lost internet at his location. So he's going to be calling in. So once he calls, we'll patch him in via phone. But I mean, there are plenty of good, you know, long range bets out there for sure that we can take a look at. I don't know. I mean, I feel like from an opening day perspective, betting wise, you've got really, really crazy matchups. You've got really great starting pitchers that are out there right now, you know, including Skeens for the Pirates on the road at Miami and others. I think we've got Jacob back now on the phone. Jacob, you there?
Yeah. I got lost internet here at the house. I'm not sure what's going on.
Did you pay your bill? I think that's the first question we got to ask.
Ooh, you know, we are talking about making some Major League Baseball bets. But yeah, I think I'm square. I think we're all square there. Maybe I need to hit one of these bets so that I can.
That'd be helpful for sure. I mean, we were talking obviously about the baseball, the opening day baseball bets. Are there other ones that you put on?
Not yet. You know, you were talking pitching. It's hard this year because, like, yes, pitchers are usually ahead of the hitters. The weather's colder, all that stuff. But then it's like, how much rope do the pitchers get right out of the gate? You know, like, how deep into a game are these managers going to let them go? I think it gets a little tricky there. But, yeah, strikeouts might be a good way to attack that. I don't have anything else yet, but I will. Because what I'll do today is I'll go through the sites. And I'll say, okay, here's all these crazy, because they throw crazy bonuses at you on these first days to try and hook you and do all that stuff. So I'll probably go check those out. I'm going to put a same game parlay on the Royals. I will probably utilize Bobby Witt Jr. total bases. I will for sure utilize Jonathan India to do something because I think he's looking to come out with a bang. And then, yeah, it's how do I, and then I'll take the Royals to win it and see where that gets me. Reagans. I don't know what to do with it because I don't like how deep into a game do you think these and I'm trying to remember historically. I know pitchers do well early in a year, but do they get to go deep into a game as I lose the connection? I think I just got it back. Let me see if I can look at what Cole Reagans did last year.
I think you let him loose. I mean, I think that I mean,
I think
you let him loose. You let him go. I don't think it's like you're on a short leash. On opening day, I don't see that being a reality.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find the game logs for all of 2024. This is impossible. We're not going to do this live over the air. So yeah, I'd probably take some Reagans there. Yeah, I mean, give it to me. The Guardians lineup is they got a couple of really good hitters, but I don't think that's going to be the strength of their team this year. Didn't they lose Naylor? They let Naylor go. So yeah, I mean, maybe Reagan's doing that is a good way. What do you have, Tommy, as I'm going to reconnect to the video stream here now?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, my strikeout, props, you know, the parlay with, Skeens and Sale today, but then, you know, you could also probably add in several other pitchers in there because you've got major, major guys that are, you know, starting today. Zach Wheeler, you know, is on the bump for the Phillies. You know, you've got really big time pitchers. So you could do a all pitcher parlay. I haven't done that quite yet, but it might just be like it might not be strikeouts. You know, it might be, I don't know, just something else I can do with those pitchers is kind of what I'm looking at. Because typically on opening day, that's where we see, you know, those top aces shine.
It is. And the hitters are going to be behind. So you got to be careful with that too. Like taking a bunch of, that's why I'd, like total bases, I kind of like, but then you learn a hard lesson last year that total bases don't include walks or whatever it was. All right. So here's, I got it. I found it. Thanks, Fantasy Baseball. Here's what Reagans did on March 28th last year. 6 innings. He went 6 innings in 3 of his first 4 starts. I'm going to guess that might be something to attack today. Can he get to 6 innings? I would bet you that they put his innings line at about 5 2/3. I don't know if you've looked at that with him yet, but that's a way to do that. Innings for him or innings from like the really established, we trust this guy pitchers. He would be one of them. So yeah, his pitcher props right now. They've got him at strikeouts at 6. He started last year going 9, 7, 5, and 8 strikeouts out of the gate. So that probably feels okay, over under 5.5. They don't have what I'm looking at now. They don't have innings up. 4.5 hits is probably, I wouldn't mess with that. But yeah, strikeouts doesn't look too bad the way he goes early in a year. Innings, when the line actually gets put out there, if it does, probably a good way to go. I could get on board with you making a Reagans bet in there.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think he's going to go, you know, assuming he doesn't get into, you know, early trouble or whatever, I think he'll have a fairly long leash.
And he's been fine in the spring. That's it, though. Like, again, I told you I'd taken a Seager home run. I'm just going to go find the bonuses. I'm with you. I will take what I took a lot last year. It was pretty fruitful. I will put Rangers, Royals winning together. That was a good bet. I did a lot. And last year, obviously, you got more of a discount or a bargain on that. You won't get that as much this year, but I kind of like doing that. And like you said, Crochet's on the mound. Can the Rangers get to the young starter? Maybe some butterflies there in his first start. We'll find out. Basketball betting is, though, where we really will have more people involved, I think, tonight in the Sweet 16. Alabama, 5.5-point favorites over BYU here. Boy, Shootout City, that over-under, we mentioned it, 176.5. I don't remember seeing a college basketball total that high. So am I going to take that? Absolutely not. If I had to, I'd take the under, even though I think it will be a shootout. That is a shootout. You're talking like low 90s, high 80s, both teams kind of shootout there. But I'm gonna take BYU in those points, though, Tommy. I know you will, too, because you have them in the Final Four. There, it's almost like, do you just take BYU? Do you just take them on the money line?
That's my easiest bet of the night is I'm taking BYU on the money line. I haven't done it yet. I may actually do BYU on the money line and the under together just to kind of juice up those odds a little bit more. Because I think that over-under total, I get it. Like, I understand, but I don't think it's going to get to that point. I'm gonna go BYU on the money line, and I'm going to add in the under.
Okay. Maryland, Florida. This is my favorite of the day, which is Florida -6 over Maryland. I think Florida kind of got their, I don't want to call it dud game, but they got their slow game out of the way and they survived it. I think Florida's 6 points better than Maryland. So I'm going to take Florida there. That's my actual favorite bet of the day.
Well, and this is where Florida has, a chance to really prove themselves. Like they've kind of been, I think, a little under the radar, at least as far as the all four number one seeds. They really have not, I don't think, gotten the kind of attention that, even Houston has gotten, or Auburn, or especially Duke has gotten throughout the course of this tournament. I like Florida to flex a little bit on Maryland. And so I agree with you. I like that. I like the laying the points with Florida tonight.
Arizona, Duke. This is the one I have absolutely no idea what to do with. Duke is a 9.5-point favorite over Arizona. My gut says to take Duke -9.5. Arizona feels like way too good of a team, though, on a neutral court to ever get 9.5 points. This is one I'm staying away from. I have no idea what to do with this game. None.
So I actually have Arizona beating Duke in my bracket. I've got Arizona going to the Elite Eight. And that's primarily because of what I watched from Arizona down the stretch in the regular season in the Big 12 and then in the Big 12 tournament. Of course, Duke is Duke, and they could win a national championship. They're that good of a team, and they've got that kind of athleticism, not just with Cooper Flagg, but with Tyrese Proctor and the other guys that they've got on that roster for sure. So while I do have Arizona, and I'm hoping that Arizona can get the upset, I don't think I'm going to bet this game.
My second favorite is the next one, and that's Texas Tech -5.5 against Arkansas. I get it with Arkansas. It's Cal. They're healthy. They play great defense, all those things. Tommy, I think Tech is awesome. I think Tech is so dang good. I'm taking Tech here. I'm comfortable with 5.5. I'll just lay it. It's my second favorite. So Florida and Tech are my two favorite bets. I like BYU. I like them plus the points. And then Arizona, Duke, I got nothing. But go Tech for me all the way.
Yeah, I'm taking Tech as well. I've got Tech as one of my other Final Four teams in the country. And so I've got them moving on for sure. I think Grant McCasland is a hell of a coach, and they put on a show here in town last week in both of their games. I think the magic with Arkansas will wear off a little bit. Everybody's calling them a Cinderella. They're not a Cinderella. They've got John Calipari. They've got incredibly
they're healthy now.
They're healthy, and they've got incredible talent. Like, this is not a out of nowhere team. They've got a Hall of Fame coach, and they've got really high caliber players. They just happen to be a 10 seed because they underachieved throughout the course of the season, and they were dealing with injuries. But I think it wears off for them tonight. I've got Tech moving on. I think that tonight and tomorrow night, but especially tonight, because you've got three of the four games featuring Big 12 teams. This is an opportunity for the Big 12 to say, look, SEC, like you had a lot of teams make the tournament, but we're the ones that are actually going to move on and move forward. So I really like that chance. I really like that opportunity for the Big 12 to have a good showing tonight.
This is it. You know, they're not going to have, and I'm glad you brought that up. And we can talk to Fitz about this in the next segment, Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, but a Big 12, you know, homer like we are. This is it, because you don't have the total teams. The SEC dominated that, but you don't have any of them playing each other. You've got two Big 12 versus SEC matchups, right? So there's two opportunities. One of those, you're the favorite. One of those, you're the underdog by the exact same margin. Then you've got the heavy underdog with Arizona, although it's not an SEC matchup. I mean, look, they got as good a chance as anybody. And then Houston represents tomorrow, of course, against Purdue. But I think there's a real good chance.
I think so.
Three Big 12 teams in the Elite Eight.
I totally think so. You know, I think that obviously out of the four, the most unlikely is Arizona beating Duke. But if you can get out of the Sweet 16 3-1, you know, at that point, you're probably hoping that the SEC, I mean, the remaining five teams, they're maybe, you know, getting two of them or three of them in the Elite Eight. And then you've got, you know, six of the eight teams represented by both the Big 12 and the SEC. And then it kind of goes from there. So I think there's a really, really, really strong opportunity tonight for at least the Big 12 to go 2-1.
I do too. And maybe 3-0. Who knows? Who knows with Arizona?
Yeah, maybe 3-0.
Didn't Caleb Love break Duke's heart the year North Carolina made their run?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a little of that there. I think it's unlikely. I can't wait. Tommy's games are going to be so good. All of them are going to be so good. I hope that Duke doesn't. Here's the two things that I really hope for today as much as anything else. I'm going to give you three. I hope Texas Tech wins. I hope Arizona keeps it close against Duke. And I hope BYU keeps it close against Alabama. I love BYU like you do. I have this fear that the bad BYU shows up at some point and they get boat raced by one of these teams. We've seen that out of BYU this year.
They certainly haven't yet in this tournament.
No, they haven't. I'm not saying they haven't in this tournament. I'm just saying this season.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, and we welcome in our pal Tim Fitzgerald, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on X, our K-State insider. Fitz, you ready for the Sweet 16?
I am. I'm kind of excited about it. I think it's mostly because I think this is huge for the Big 12.
Yeah,
I think there's
just talking about
really good teams. I think all four teams can make it to the Final Four, not together. That'd be kind of fun, but impossible. And you know what? I just think this is important. I think it's important for the conference and where it stands right now. And plus, these are great basketball teams to watch.
Who do you like out of the Big 12 tonight? I mean, I know that the heavy underdog is Arizona, obviously, but BYU, I mean, they've been shooting lights out throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you like from the Big 12?
Well, if I back up and look at the teams I think most likely to make the Final Four, I come up with, of course, Houston, which plays tomorrow, apparently, and BYU. I just think there's something about how this BYU team's constructed that could get them to the Final Four. It took an elite team like Houston to beat them, and that's the only loss they've had in, I don't know, the last 15 games. I don't know what the number is now. And they just have a real sense of self. They know how to win. They got guys that can just flat-out play. And they're really well tied together offensively and defensively, and I think that's what you need to survive at this time of year. And I think they really could make a run to the Final Four.
How much weight do you put into how deep – like the SEC had a really good run up to this point, but they had 14 teams
right.
In. Like what is the finish line? Because I don't like totally basing what we saw from a comp. We've seen it for years out of the Big 12. Like if the SEC loses a bunch of these games, I don't think it takes away from how good they were this year. But like what is the threshold here where it really stands out? Is it the Sweet 16? Is it even further than that?
I think when you're in the standing of the Big 12, you need someone in the Final Four, need a couple in the Elite Eight. The SEC was set up for success, and they found failure out of that because anyone who was seeded a little bit lower other than Arkansas has been losing. And look, when you're a 1 or 2 seed, you got to work hard to lose in the first two rounds. You just do. And they've been set up for success by being seeded the highest, and we'll see how far that takes them. I think they're really good basketball teams, but as an entire conference, this has been a joke. They're not, from top to bottom, the best. You never put 6 and 12 teams in the NCAA tournament again. It was a shameful act by the committee.
Well, while we're talking Sweet 16 fits, the women, K-State women, in the Sweet 16 this weekend, you know, it was an interesting development with Juju Watkins going down for USC over the weekend. And, you know, so Kansas State will face USC without their top player, without the top player in college basketball this weekend. Obviously opens the door even further for a path for Kansas State to make it to the Final Four. But what are some things that we should be looking for in this matchup?
Well, this was a sizable of an impact on a team that you could imagine, losing Juju Watkins. And there's this strange mixture when you talk to K-State folks, players, coaches, you know, even reporters, of like, this is just horrific that this happened at this point of her career, and she's such an elite player and everyone's looking forward to playing her. But deep down, you're also saying it's our job to advance in this tournament, and that just took a big step forward. Guys, the spread for this game, I don't even know what it was before. Why bother checking? But now without Juju Watkins, it's 1.
Yeah. Wow.
It is 1. And this has totally changed the entire context of this game.
Yeah, it opened at 1.5, which surprised me. I thought K-State would be favored, honestly.
Yeah, and really?
They're 1-point dogs. But
yeah, I tell you what, I don't know how Vegas came up with this number at all, because they haven't played much without her. And Coach Jeff Mitty mentioned this yesterday, that it's hard to find film to scout of meaningful minutes they played without
right.
her. Because usually when she didn't play, they were just smoking someone. I don't know if we know anything, but I do know this. I watched that team without Juju Watkins absolutely destroy Mississippi State, a team good enough to be a 9 seed, which on the women's side doesn't mean you're great, but it means you're worthy of being, you know, in the middle of the pack of the tournament. And they got beat by 40. So this is a really dangerous team. They're incredibly talented, and that's why they're a number one seed with or without Juju Watkins.
By the way, we'll have that game for you, Tom, and just let me know. We're carrying the K-State women this weekend right here on the radio. So that's awesome. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. We'll have more on that tomorrow. All right, Fitz, let's talk about the K-State men then.
Okay.
Paul Mills called himself Portal Paul here. Everybody's in the portal. Let me start here before we get into the specifics of it. Does the K-State collective have the same appetite to spend money this year than they did a year ago from what you're hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing I think the money's there. I think they want a different approach. Maybe a little more caution. You know, I'm pleased. Look, people always are saying stuff like, well, we need to redirect this NIL money. It's not your money to redirect. It is boosters' money, literally. That's what's how skewed this system is currently. It's literally wealthy alums putting money where they want. So you don't get to choose. It's their money. They get to choose this. And they're still back in basketball, and I think that's cool. That's great. Let's see if they have better success with a different type of approach here. And, you know, to get to your next question, I'm stunned nobody from K-State has entered the portal yet. Stunned, which means they're trying to scratch and claw and keep guys together. But you would think that some dudes would just be out, but they haven't yet. And maybe the coaches have just advised them, look, if you want to leave, do it. But there's 800 other guys going in today. And why don't you wait? Why don't you wait until some of this traffic clears and you stand out a little bit going into the portal? But I don't know. I think K-State, I like the fact that they want to retain a lot of this roster, but that also should be confused with everyone needs to stay, because I think, you know, you need to clear some guys out to bring in some new blood. You just do.
Well, and I think that brings up a good point. I mean, if none of the players have entered the portal at this point, then it makes it difficult to you know, understand who they might be targeting that is currently right. in the portal. Are you hearing any rumbles of potential incoming guys, or is that quiet also because we don't know who's leaving?
They've been linked to some players, a guy from Robert Morris and some others, but, you know, nothing of great substance at this point. You know, it's so early. Guys, you haven't been able to contact people in the portal technically until Monday. You know, I when people are putting out lists of 20 schools they've been contacted by, I'm like, this is just such a corrupted system right now because you haven't been contacted. Your agent has been contacted. And it's insanity what's going on right now. But there'll be plenty of players. There'll be plenty of time. And, you know, we saw K-State panic a little bit last year. And I'm just telling you, just take your time and make good decisions. Quit speed dating as best you can. And try to find someone that's really going to fit your program.
Can I propose, Fitz, can we have, as you know, we've now had what looks like it'll be four coaches basically know their next spot before their team's done playing. Can we just like, can we put a moratorium on, if we're going to do this with the players and set rules up and penalties, can we do the same thing for coaches?
This is obnoxious. And I understand what's going on. I mean, it's the portal. This is all driven by the portal. There's a sense that if we don't get a coach in place right now, because the portal's open, we're going to lose all the good players. It's you know, maybe you'll lose some players that you could have gotten, but there's just so many players in the portal. But I understand if you're like a West Virginia, you can't afford to have a position just wide open right now. And this whole portal thing has just caused so many dominoes to fall the wrong way. It's obnoxious.
Wouldn't it be great if we just delayed the start of the portal season until after the season is done? Like, doesn't that just seem like the easiest thing to do?
In theory, yeah. But look what happened. The portal wasn't open, and we already had people announcing they're in the portal, and here's all the schools that have contacted me. You know, at some point, you're moving the cheating around. You're not preventing the cheating by now you can pay players. Now they're going to cheat and how they can pay the players. So it's, I don't know. I
do we even want to call it cheating? Like, I mean, because there's the old adage, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, you have to do it now. You have
absolutely.
To.
And why not? Because NCAA is not doing a damn thing about it.
Because they'll lose in court.
Yeah, don't give a kid a candy bar, but offer his agent $3 million. What are we even doing here anymore? But yeah, this is just utter chaos, and it can't be contained by the NCAA.
It will be eventually. It'll be contained by the leagues. They'll put players under contract. Bill Self said it. I'm with him. It's not going to be that far down the road. Two, three more years of this, they'll have everything settled legally, I think, and we'll get to some normalcy. I hope. In all of this, you still like Houston as your champion, Fitz?
I do. I didn't see anything to dissuade me from that choice. I think they're just so well put together. And getting back to my BYU point, they handled BYU. And I think BYU is really good. So they have this gear where they can just absolutely dismantle really good, tightly fit teams. BYU is well constructed, and they took them apart. Yeah, I think Houston, unless they just run into the wrong matchup on the wrong day, I think they're going to probably get this done. I love them.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Duke's going to be a challenge. Like, Duke's just sitting there.
Let me ask you this. Do you begin to question Duke based on what the ACC did as a whole in the tournament? You start to wonder.
You mean their results? A little bit. Yeah, I think it was a down year for that league. But, I mean, they've backed it up in the tournament so far.
I do wonder if they're properly tested, if they really went through much in the ACC this season, because it just hasn't been a very good conference. But I will take Mr. Flagg any day of the week. I rode an elevator with him, so
Kansas,
he's probably blessed.
Kansas beat him, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, like 6 months ago.
Flagg was a little different then, but yeah, if you're looking for optimism, Kansas beat him. Yeah, it is what Houston, they will not have played a team as tough as Houston. I don't think Houston's got to get through Purdue. Purdue's the team I know the least about out of this group. It's not even close. So we'll see.
Me too. Yeah, that's funny. Exactly. I don't even know anything about Purdue.
Absolutely nothing about Purdue. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at GoPowerCat.com?
We're waiting for spring football, to be real honest. I've never encountered a period of time like this. Luckily, we're doing a lot of women's basketball coverage. We put up a really cool pregame podcast. We did a full what we do for football for the Sweet 16 for the women. It went up today. So we're going to be tracking the women and baseball until we get a little spring football in a week or so.
Find it at GoPowerCat.com. Follow Fitz at Life of Fitz on social. Appreciate it.
Thank you, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. Yeah, K-State women right here on KFH this weekend. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we got it. And, you know, if they win, we'll carry the Elite Eight game, and then we'll continue to carry that. So shout out to Tony Deucin getting all of that secured. We have not – I don't think we've aired any women's games this season on KFH, but we're picking up Sweet 16, and the remainder, as long as they win, we'll keep airing it here on KFH.
That'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. Tommy, it's opening day. Very happy for everyone who celebrates. We've got Royals baseball for you starting right here at 3 o'clock. I mean, come on now. It just doesn't get any better than this.
All right, I cannot wait. And I love the fact that the games are starting mid-afternoon. I can get a little bit of work done over the next couple of hours, get prepped up, ready to go, and then right into baseball and then Sweet 16 after that.
That's unfortunate for me. Good news is, shout out to Crestview Country Club, because I'll be headed to a wine tasting.
Enjoy it.
I know what to expect.
Enjoy it.
But there will be TVs, and I will be watching the game. I'm going to bring my box of Franzia.
I hope your wine is very oaky.
Whatever. It'll be fun, though. These events are fun.
And shallow, the good thing about and pedantic.
They have the games on TV. So while everybody's sniffing their wine, I'll be yelling at the TV about my parlays. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.